Women's Health Matters on Talk About. Brought to you in association with the Scotia Clinic Rathas Tralee, specialists in fertility and menopause.
And a warm welcome to Dr. Mary McCaffrey from the Scotia Clinic, who has just joined us in studio. Good to see you, Mary.
And good to see you too, Deirdre.
Now, we're going to talk this month about a condition and a number of conditions that affect women. And it's all to do sort of with the area around the vulva.
And the skin. And
move into the microphone there a little bit. Yes.
And the reason why this emanated from actually a request on our last show. Someone actually rang in and said, you know, we'd never talked about, she specifically asked about lichen planus. And when I went away, I thought, you know, we have never really touched on skin disorders and itching and whatever. So I thought it was a good opportunity to do it today.
So what is lichen planus?
Lichen planus is a condition of the skin, and it can be in other places besides in the vagina and vulva. So usually people who have it will have had it in other, maybe in their mouth or somewhere as well. So it's a kind of an erosive, not quite ulcers, but a red inflamed kind of condition of the skin. We're not really sure what causes it, but we know it's something to do with the immune system causing inflammation and attacking the area in the skin, and it can come and go and, you know, relapse and remit. So it can be a very uncomfortable, burning, stinging. We don't see it very often. I certainly don't see it very often, but it is very uncomfortable when it is there. So it is important that if someone had something like that, that A, they would do something about it and make sure that's what it is. And I think that's the big message today, that women are often inclined to presume everything is thrush. So they get sore down there, burning down there, and they go, oh, it's thrush, into the pharmacy, collect some Caniston cream or whatever over the counter, put it on, and nobody's really ever looked and made a diagnosis. And it's very important, because an awful lot of the time I see women coming in who, and their opening sentence is, I'm getting thrush all the time. And then when you pin them down and go through the symptoms with them, it isn't necessarily thrush, and it probably isn't thrush a lot of the time, and they have never had a proper diagnosis of different conditions. So that's why I thought it was important to talk about this today. But going back to lichen planus, it is skin disorder. It is a very uncomfortable skin disorder. We treat it with steroid creams and sometimes ointments, because ointments are less irritant to the skin. And we treat it with ointments, and it might resolve for a little while. It might come back again. And then we would, if someone's having it a lot, we would look maybe at what is causing it to come back all the time. Is it something they're doing? Is it some irritant of something they're putting on their skin? Do they have an overlay maybe of thrush with it, which is why it's important that someone would be examined and looked at. And sometimes if the steroid ointments on their own don't work, they move on to different kinds of medications. But most of the time, people with lichen planus will always have it somewhere else, like in their mouth, in their gums, tongue, somewhere else as well.
Yeah. And does it affect women from any particular age demographic?
Not particularly, no. Not
any age?
Any age, yeah. So that's one of the conditions we see a lot. Then, and I suppose in a small percentage of cases, and I mean minusculely small, it can become malignant, which is why it's important that people know what their normal anatomy looks like, have a mirror. We should all be having a mirror, looking down there and knowing what's normal for us. People worry about it because they think it might be herpes, they think they've an STI, they think it's contagious. It is none of those as well. So that's why having a diagnosis and getting someone to look for you is important. Then the other skin condition that is quite common is another lichen one called lichen sclerosus. That's completely different, and that is an autoimmune condition, and that affects the architecture of the skin, for want of a better word. The skin tends to be very white, very shiny, and gradually over a period of time, maybe the small lips of the vagina might shrink or disappear. The clitoris can get covered in. It can cause scarring. It can cause narrowing of the vaginal opening, as can lichen planus as well. Again, we treat that with steroids. But again, having a diagnosis, and sometimes for either of them, you might need a biopsy. But for lichen sclerosus, a biopsy probably doesn't, we don't have to do that often. It's a very obvious diagnosis for us. And again, demographics, mainly in older women. Sometimes, very, very rarely, you'll see it in very young girls, pre-puberty girls, and it settles and you might see it again. But, and again, it's another condition that in a very small percentage of cases can become malignant. So important for someone to keep an eye on it, and for patients to keep an eye on it themselves.
And then there's allergic dermatitis.
Yeah, and I think this is a lot of what we are actually seeing, because the skin in the vulva and vaginal area is actually very sensitive. It's more sensitive than skin anywhere in the body, and particularly as you get older. And we are just loading our skin with chemicals in every turn. It's the washing powders we use, it's the tumble dryer sheets, fabric conditioners, you name it, what people are putting on for waxing, for shave or shaving, what they wash with, shower gels, a whole
fake
load of
tan,
different...
the whole
fake
lot.
Tans,
yeah.
Everything. And even sometimes people will go into a pharmacy and get something like Vagisil. Vagisil is one that very commonly has, you know, we think about the active ingredients in a product we use, but we don't think about all the other alcohols in, say, wipes, baby wipes, wet wipes, all the things, panty liners, pads, and urine. Urine's a big irritant, and a lot of women who might have incontinence won't be aware that A, they're wearing pads because they might be incontinent, and B, if the urine is on the skin for quite a long time, again, like nappy rash, it'll cause the skin to get very irritated.
Mm. What then is vulvodynia?
Vulvodynia is a totally different thing, and it's one that very commonly when we sit down with a patient and tease out, you know, I've got thrush, and you sit down and you take your history carefully from a patient that you've realised they don't have thrush, but they think do. So vulvodynia is more a nerve pain, so it's the nerves of the vulva and the vagina being irritated, inflamed, and sending out signals that everything's really sore. So it can be a kind of almost like an electric shock kind of a pain. Whereas with thrush, yes, they might feel inflamed and sore, but they will look inflamed and sore. With vulvodynia, the vagina and the vulva will look very normal, and it's only when you actually start testing. We do what we call a Q-tip test, where we touch the areas, go around the different nerve supplies, and see which one triggers more pain than another area in the vulva. So it looks normal, but the trigger is touch a lot of the time, or a compressed nerve maybe inside in the vagina or in the pelvis, and it can often be symptoms like I can't get a tampon in, I can't have sex, or the clothes even rubbing off their skin sometimes, just that, even the most sensitive rubbing off their skin can trigger that nerve pain. So that often will just get presumed to be thrush. And often they will go into a pharmacy and say, I've got thrush, and they get treated for thrush. But I think people, if something's not getting better, they need to go and have it properly assessed.
Since you're talking about that whole area, in recent years we've seen the popularity of the thong as a underwear.
Yes.
A lot of the young women as well.
Yeah.
To me, that looks, well, first of all, downright uncomfortable. But would there be a possibility of irritation?
There is a possibility.
In the area you're talking about.
Absolutely. And there is a possibility of irritation. And one of the other things we feel about thongs as well is that they probably may bring fecal matter from the rectum around to the vaginal area as well. So hygiene becomes very important.
Yeah, and that leaves you open for urinary tract infections,
correct.
I presume.
Well, yeah, and vaginal infections as well. But the vulvodynia one is a kind of, because the women suffer for years, it might be that they've got a trapped nerve somewhere in the pelvic floor or whatever. Could be triggered by stress, by thrush, by hormones, lots of things, but a very important one to get a handle on.
Very good. So what, before we go to break, Miriam, we have questions for you as well, but what are the big take-homes from what you've said? What are the messages to get out?
I suppose the big take-homes is that if someone has an irritation or feels sore down there and it's not going away and it's not getting better, to get someone to look at it. Also to be very conscious of examining our own vagina and vulva ourselves with a mirror. We should be doing, we do breast examinations, we should be doing that too. And I suppose the other big take home is the chemicals. We really do load our body with chemicals, particularly down there, and just to do some research on it and see what could be happening.
Yeah, and see if you could remove some of the chemicals.
Absolutely,
perhaps.
Yeah.
Less is more.
Yeah, and it's actually, sometimes when people get sore, then they start putting more creams on and more creams and more creams, and we almost do a detox when I see people. We want to detox for a few weeks, and it makes such a difference.
Yeah, okay, very good. We'll take a break, Mary.
Women's Health Matters on Talk About. Brought to you in association with the Scotia Clinic, Rathas Tralee. Specialists in fertility and menopause.
Now, a couple of things I want to mention to you, Mary, before we move on to questions. I see in the news during the week that PCOS, polycystic ovary syndrome, that's now being renamed.
It has been renamed, and it's a really exciting time because very few times in my career can I remember something happening that I went, this is something really important. So we used to talk about PCOS, polycystic ovarian syndrome, and it has now been renamed after much negotiation and discussion and collaboration and focus groups to PMOS. PMOD actually. So poly still is multiple, endocrine, which is a hormone disorder, metabolic is about your metabolism and your heart and all those things, and it's more ovarian disease as opposed to cysts, because people, the word cyst was so bad, everyone would come in saying, oh yeah, I've always had cysts in my ovaries, I must have PCOS, and they didn't. So there's going to be a lot more emphasis now on this being a hormonal issue throughout your whole body. There's a whole program for this, really. We'll do it again sometime. And it being metabolic and the risks for heart disease later on in life, diabetes later on in life. So it'll no longer be something we're thinking about only for young girls. We'll be talking about it for all women. So yeah, really exciting time.
Very good. Now we... Oh yes, you want to mention as well, you have a new psychiatrist in the Scotia Clinic.
Oh, we have a new psychiatrist in the Scotia Clinic. I wanted to give her a mention, Dr. Jazz. She is one of the team from HSE, which she's doing private work now, and has a really nice style of practice. She does a lot of kind of psychotherapeutic based and psychodynamic based styles of practice. So going to be, I think, a really good fit for women's health and people with maybe PMDD, ADHD, things like that. So just to make people aware that that's another exciting new thing happening.
Very good. Now we've a worried Kerry mum who emailed us, and she says she actually has a question about lichen sclerosis, which you mentioned earlier. She said, in our family, a grandparent had it. Should the teenage grandchildren be told about the condition? I ask, as my friend and her mother both have the condition. I worry the grandchildren could have it and not look for medical advice, as it takes courage to talk about issues down below. Some GPs manage the condition and some women are under the care of gynecologists, which is recommended. It's a very delicate family issue, so I would rather my name wouldn't be mentioned. Well, that's never a problem.
Yeah, and that's okay. It isn't really genetic as such, and it might just be coincidental that dental, there's a couple of people in her family with it. I think that one of the things I'm learning, I'm seeing an awful lot of more young people and adolescents in the last couple of years of my practice, and a lot of the most important message I'm learning out of that is people talking to their younger people and explaining things. And I don't think that can be talked about quite easily without having to say that someone else in the family had it. Someone could say it was on the programme today, for example, and was talked about on the programme today. And different people get managed by GPs or gynecologists. Some GPs have an interest in dermatology. Other GPs might send someone on because they thought it was thrush or they thought it was whatever. So it doesn't matter who they're being minded by, as long as they are being managed and on their steroid ointments or whatever. So I think it's worth talking to young people about knowing everything I talked about today about chemicals and their skin and knowing what their normal skin looks like without necessarily worrying them, because lichen sclerosis isn't really, really a worrying condition if it's managed well in the early stages.
And it's not hereditary, as you said.
I don't think it is, no.
Hopefully that will be of consolation to that listener. This one came in earlier from a female in her 50s. She started HRT a few weeks ago. Estradot 37.5 and Duphaston 10 milligrams. She said, since then I've indigestion and a sore throat, although the HSE has helped with sleep problems and night sweats and brain fog. Will the indigestion improve after a few weeks?
Well, if it's absolutely suddenly happened out of the blue for no reason, it might be worth mentioning to the person who prescribed it for her, because it's unlikely to be anything to do with the estrogen and the patches, but maybe the medication, maybe the progestogen medication for some reason isn't suiting her. Maybe that's what needs to be altered. But I think 3 weeks is a very short period of time.
So it could be completely unrelated.
Unrelated, but I think it would be worth mentioning to the prescriber.
Yeah,
and even a pharmacist actually will guide her on that, as well as to whether maybe there's another brand of the Duphaston, a more generic one, or maybe it's something as simple as what else is in Duphaston.
Yeah, we haven't heard as much anymore about the shortage of HRT. Did that all sort itself out?
comes in phases, waves and phases. Yeah.
Depends on whatever you're on, I suppose.
Correct, absolutely.
Yeah, exactly. Listener is wondering if Dr. McCaffrey could explain what coliform bacteria is in relation to being found in a vaginal swab.
Okay, so we all have bugs in the vagina, every one of us, and there are a variety of different bugs in the vagina. And the predominant bug that should be there is one called Lactobacillus, which is a lactic acid, lactose as it, whatever, and it keeps the vagina flora kind of neutral. It keeps the vaginal pH acidic, and it prevents other bugs like thrush and candida, bacterial vaginosis growing. But there are coliforms and other things there as well. But the predominant number of bugs will be the lactobacilli. If they're out of kilter or out of balance for whatever reason, you can get a predominance of coliform bugs. They're not a bad thing unless they're causing symptoms. Say, for example, there might be bacterial vaginosis imbalance. People might have an odorous discharge or whatever. As people get older, they sometimes have less lactobacilli because the estrogen is important in balancing that as well. So it might be simply a case of the age of this person. If they've been told it's on a swab and they've no symptoms, I wouldn't get too excited about it. If it's part of the condition called bacterial vaginosis and they have a discharge and they have symptoms, it might need to be looked at and maybe treated. It's all about what they're worried about.
Yeah. Caller says, I'm on HRT spray for 3 years. But my body for the last 2 months has become very itchy. Would this have something to do with menopause, or could it be the HRT spray that's causing it? She's on it for 3 years.
Itching is a symptom. Itching can be a symptom of menopause. And the kind of itching we talk about, people get dry skin, but also they get that little feeling like there's little insects crawling under their skin sometimes. I would think it was on my own personal opinion now is it's unlikely to be anything to do with the spray now, because spray is probably not causing. I'm just wondering if her estrogen levels are okay or if it's an allergy to something else she's using. That would be my thoughts more than that the spray is causing it.
Mm-hmm. A couple of people has been on asking about panty liners, and I think the general consensus, just going back to what you were saying earlier, or the general question seems to be, do you not recommend them?
I'm not a great fan of them, and I always ask women, because it'll always come up in a conversation about, you know, the vulvitis and the vaginal itch, and I ask them why they're wearing them, and nearly everyone is wearing them just in case they leak urine, just in case their periods come early. And panty liners actually are a huge source of chemicals. They're actually worse than pads, and a lot of women wear them 24/7, 365, just in case. So they are probably something that I'd be stepping back saying, why are you using them all the time? Obviously word has got out that I'm not a great fan of them. But if people have to wear them, that's a different kettle of fish. And there is a nice brand that are eco-friendly, that don't have all the chemicals in them. And if you think about the panty liners that we buy, they've plastic on them as well, so you're sweating. So you have the combination of blood and sweat and urine. They're just not a great thing. At least with pads, you're only wearing them for a couple of days a month. So maybe to explore going into your health food shop or going into wherever you can get eco-friendly products and asking about them. There's a brand I like called NatraCare. So they have no chemicals in them. They're really good.
NatraCare,
NatraCare.
Yeah, not to mention the fact that a lot of them, I think Carefree is the big brand in them, but a lot of them are individually packaged with little plastic packaging.
Yeah. From an environmental point of view, there's nothing good about them.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that's interesting now that you're not a fan of those. Mary, that's all the questions I have for you for now, unless there's anything else you'd like to mention.
No, I hope everyone has a lovely summer.
Yeah.
And thinks about their sunscreens and everything while they're out and about. But on the other hand, we're not getting much, so maybe we still need our vitamin D for our bones.
Any talks or anything like that coming up in the
Nothing
next few
at the
weeks?
At the moment, it's kind of quiet. Oh yeah, and a really good time as well to wish all the young people who are starting to get ready for the Leaving Cert and Junior Cert the best of luck for the next few weeks.
Yeah, that's a nice thing to do. Absolutely. Mary, we let you go. Thank you so much for that. And we'll see you again in June.
Thank you.
All the best.